This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio. This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT, Houston, 90.1 FM.
I am the free. direction. Now listen to me. Oh, 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 I want you. But no, 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 this won't do. No, no, I won't screw with no protection.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
In Galveston and the world, this is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, Pacifica Radio, yada yada yada. You should know where you're at. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your executive producer for this evening. Jimmy Carper is looking at a throne. It's enthronement for the Imperial Court of Houston, and he, being a member of that organization, is going to be fiddling with them. So he won't be joining us. This is the Saturday, October 7th edition of After Hours. Because it is the first Saturday of the month, we have Hatch coming up here in a little bit, followed by the Binet segment and the rest of the cast of characters. Started off the show with Kevin Cahoon and the song Doll, and stayed in a slightly punk version of going to Pansy Division with No Protection. We just got a couple of items here for the calendar. Jimmy didn't print off stuff for me. So we're going to do a couple of things, play some song, and we'll get Hatch in here just a touch early, hopefully. The Houston Pride Band proudly presents Spooked on Classics, and that'll be on Thursday, October 19th. Tricks, Treats, Ghosts, and Goblins, a great program of music that makes Halloween such an exciting time of the year. On the program are such classes as Dance Macabre, Little Shop of Horrors, October, Abracadabra, as well as seasonal favorites like the music from the motion picture Psycho and Harry Potter. Concert begins at 7:30 p.m. and is held at Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church, which is located on the corner of 11th and T.C. Jester. Tickets are only $10. Come out and support the second oldest gay and lesbian concert band in the U.S. For more information, call 832-265-3346. They're always looking for new musicians, so if you know how to beat it, bang it, or blow it, call the contact the Houston Pride Band at houstonprideband.org. October 21st, Texas musician Patrice Pike, fresh from her stint on the CBS television series Rockstar Supernova, has chosen the 12th annual Houston Women's Festival as a site for her official Houston CD release of her latest production, Unraveling. The festival takes place on Saturday, October 21st, from 11:30 a.m. until 10 p.m. at Jones Plaza. Sorry, I was looking for something. I thought I had another piece to this. I'll look at this other folder. Other festival performers include Vanguard recording artist Garrison Starr, Deidre McCalla, Adrian and the Sickness, Echo Set, the Gin Sisters, and the Ginger Lay Band, Erica Lucat and Laurel. Houston comedian and columnist Nancy Ford will MC the event. Tickets are $15 at the gate, $12 in advance. You can go to hwfestival.org/tickets. Children 10 to 18 and students with a current ID are 10 at the door. Children 10 and under are free. For more information, you, of course, go to hwfestival.org. Trying to see if there's something... that part's on there. Okay, there's nothing new on that email, so I wasted time for nothing. Let's go back to here after our... finding our voices. Come out wherever you are. Gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders, and supportive allies are constantly being urged to come out. We are told that too many people don't know us, and when they know us, it's the first step towards becoming more open and supportive of GLBT issues. You hear that, Republicans? You're supposed to be nicer now. But for many of us, finding our voice is much easier said than done. We are hesitant and fearful of losing friends, family members, jobs, neighbors, religious support, fearful of invading someone's space or with our issues. Finding Our Voices is a workshop dedicated to help GLBTs and supportive friends and family to become more comfortable with presenting their human life stories and educate the public about the truth of sexual minorities. The facilitator will be Paul Cross, Theater and Speech Chair at Challenge Early College High School, HISD. PFLAG Houston invites you to increase your self-confidence in speaking out regardless of your current state of comfort. Some of you may go to join panels on our Speakers Bureau. Others may wish to keep a lower profile. But you are all welcome to this most important workshop, and you'll leave feeling better equipped to deal with the issues in the future. Remember, your silence is consent to future discrimination. Finding Our Voices will take place on Saturday, October 14th, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Houston GLBT Community Center, 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. Free parking is available in the garage off of Hawthorne. Just tell them you're there with the center. You need to contact Kat Sibba at 936-271-1453. Or send an email to csabih@houston.rr.com. There is no charge for this workshop. Next. A Sister's Decadent Desserts and More 2006 is taking place on Sunday, October 8th, 2006. That is in just a mere 15 hours. This will be happening at South Beach, 810 Pacific Street from 4 to 7 p.m. Mistress of Ceremony will be Ms. Nancy Ford, comedian and senior editor of Outsmart Magazine. The Decadent Dessert, now in its sixth year, will feature delectable and savory offerings from area restaurants, chefs, and caterers. Returning this year will be Amanda's Bakery, Carter & Cooley Company, Java Java Cafe, Rainbow Lodge Restaurant, Jim Paton Catering, Pepper Tree Veggie Cuisine. And new to the culinary event is Trevisio, Prego, and Jim Steelhammer. Live entertainment throughout the evening, raffle and auction items will be up for bid during the event, which will all be raising funds for Assisters, which is a nonprofit organization that provides non-medical in-home care to lesbians with chronic illness or disabilities. Now celebrating our 10 years of service is achieving the goal of creating a more positive, organized response to lesbian health needs in the greater Houston area. Tickets are $25 at the door. I guess it's too late to prepay. Those are when other tickets are going to be available. So once again, the Sisters Decadent Dessert on Sunday, October 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. The slightly off-center players in San Jacinto College Film and Theater Department invite you to remember those slain or suffering because of intolerance and hatred. Unite as a community committed to change. On October 12, 1998, college student Matthew Shepard died after being brutally beaten, tied to a fence, and abandoned on the barren outskirts of Wyoming. October 12, 2006, on the 8th anniversary of Matthew's death, San Jacinto College Central Film and Theater Department invites you to join the cast and crew for its production of The Laramie Project. Of its next production, The Laramie Project, for a candlelight vigil outside Slocum Auditorium at dusk. The Laramie Project is a haunting, dramatic retelling of this hate crime that deeply affected Laramie and the nation. The play will be performed from October 20th to October 29th at the Powell Arena Theater. The vigil is sponsored by the Slightly Off-Center Players. Once again, there's a vigil commemorating the 8th anniversary of the death of Matthew Shepard on October 12th at 6:30 p.m. at San Jacinto College Central Slocum Fine Arts Building. That's at 8060 Spencer Highway down in Pasadena. On October 11th, the Montrose Counseling Center is doing their Casual Community Education Series. Come here often. It's on October 11th from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at 701 Richmond, room 15. Everything you want to know about figuring out what you want, is it love or lust? Approaching someone of interest, awareness of your own safety and rejection, but were afraid to ask or just didn't know who to ask. Come and mingle and socialize with others in a confidential setting. There is no fee to attend. Registration is recommended but not required. Call 713-529-0037, extension 339, for more information or to register. Once again, the Montrose Counseling Center at its current location at 701 Richmond Avenue, soon to be relocating around the corner and down the street and somewhere else. Delete. And I've got one other thing here, because this is October, and October 11th is coming up, and that is National Coming Out Day, which means I believe I'm celebrating my 12th birthday, 11th or 12th birthday, something like that, since I killed the parents with the announcement. A coming out support group forming at the Montrose Counseling Center. The first meeting will be held on National Coming Out Day. Coming out issues are the focus of a new support group forming at Montrose Counseling Center. The group is open to anyone who identifies as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, or transgender, and will meet at Montrose Counseling Center every Wednesday for at least 8 weeks, beginning October 11th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It just so happens that the group's first meeting will be on National Coming Out Day, said Chris Kerr, program coordinator. We're trying to schedule this program at least twice a year and encourage people to attend regardless of where they are in the coming out process, said Kerr, who emphasizes every day we make decisions about who we are going to disclose our sexual orientation or gender identity, and sometimes it's in a split second, like when someone asks you, how was your weekend? Are you going to tell that person you spent the entire weekend caring for your partner who is sick, or that you went to the Pride Parade? Each week, a new topic will be presented, from recognizing internalized homophobia to discussing spiritual concerns, how to approach and speak with family members, GLBT history and pride, career issues, and creating a family of choice. For more information, call 713-529-0037, extension 703. A donation will be requested, but there is no charge to attend. You do not have to be registered clients of MCC, but they do ask for registration on this. For more information, like I said, once again, you can call 713-529-0037 or check them out on the World Wide Web at MontroseCounselingCenter.org. I don't think they even put that on. Yeah, MontroseCounselingCenter.org. And once again, that's over as so on October 11th at 701 Richmond, just off of Montrose. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, and I just realized our quickie isn't here. Because I think a good portion of the quickie is over at the ICOH enthronement. Because it's supposed to be the Colts that are here. So, we're going to start dragging the hatchlings in a little early. And I grabbed a CD out of there to put on some music while they're coming in. And Charity from the last show mentioned Hedvig. So, figure it's something I needed to pull out. And, let's see. Which one? I got a couple ones on here that I really like. I haven't played this one in a while. There we go. This is from the CD Hedvig and the Angry Inch, the original cast recording. Wig in a Box. This is After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude. Up next, Hatch.
Home, and I put myself to bed. Okay, everybody.
Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Wig in a Box, push the magic buttons, and it's time now for Hatch.
Hi, this is the Hatch segment of After Hours Queer Radio with KPFT. We're going to go ahead and say our names. I guess we'll start with you. I don't want to say your name because that would defeat the purpose.
I'm Seth. I'm 19.
And how long have you been in AA?
AA?
Just kidding. Just kidding, guys.
Wow.
Nah.
For all my life.
Okay.
Madison, age 19.
Amber, 19.
I'm Pam. I'm 18.
Nice. The baby.
Shush. Anyway,
sure.
Like I said before, we're the Hatch segment of Queer Radio. We're all representatives from Hatch, the Houston area
Teen group. Coalition of
No, the Houston area group for GLBTQIAE.
A-O.
Okay, don't add random letters, right?
No, that's how it goes. GLBTQSISAO.
I no. have never
Honey. Heard O is for other. They added that on.
Okay. Well, we talked about that last time. You should have been here then. Yeah. Tonight, we're going to be talking about our coming out stories and experiences due to October being Gay History Month and October 11th being Coming Out Day.
We have one for each one of y'all.
Yay! One mic for each of us. I'm going to go ahead and do a couple of announcements first. Hatch is having its annual Youth Awards Banquet this Friday, this coming out Friday on October 13th, Friday the 13th. If you would like to come, get in touch with us through the phone, which is 713-529-3590, or you can call, or you can look on our website at www.hatchyouth.com. Again, the Hatch number is 713-529-3590. You can call that if you'd like to attend any Hatch meeting, or if you're just dealing with something, but in case of emergency, when Hatch isn't in their office, go ahead and call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston at 713-529-3211. Aside from that, I don't think we have any other announcements. Other than the Halloween lock-in, which is going to be October 27th. If you want to go to that or you plan on going to it, again, contact us through one of those means, and we will definitely let you know. Or you can directly email our youth service worker at info@hatchyouth.org. And she will most likely return an email to you as soon as possible. So I think that's it, guys. About announcements. Pretty sure. Okay, so like I said, tonight we're going to go ahead and talk about coming out stories. So who wants to start?
Let's go in alphabetical order.
Ew, no.
Come on, you're being not shy tonight.
Yeah, come out of your shell a little more.
Invasive interview.
Ew.
Oh, actually, one more announcement, by the way. Hatch Youth, if you are a part of Hatch or if you want to be a part of Hatch, Hatch is making a documentary, a couple of them. And if you have been a part of Hatch and would like to be part of this, go ahead and contact the youth service worker, Deb, or if you've been to Hatch, go ahead. They'll be taping on the weekends. You can definitely show up at Hatch. Let them know you want to be part of it. You have to sign a release form if you're under the age of 18, which will be called and verified. So don't sign it illegally because it doesn't help. Okay. But, yeah, if you want to be part of that, definitely give us a call or show up at Hatch if you know where it is. So I guess who wants to start? We shouldn't force people to start. That's not very nice. I mean, I feel like I've been talking for more than 3 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and not talk anymore.
That's amazing.
Oh! Nice.
Cold.
Anyway. Okay.
Okay,
Seth,
I guess I might as well.
Mr. AA all my life.
Well, because my family. Anyway, yeah, I'm Seth. See, I don't really have a coming out story so much as a being yanked out of the closet story. Because, let's see, when I was about 13, I thought I was bisexual. And the first person I told, which this was a big mistake, I told my sister. And so she went and told my grandmother and my aunts and my uncles and my stepmom and my mother and my other brothers and sisters. So by the time I realized I was gay when I was 16, I had to come out to all of them all over again. And how I found out that she did this was I told my other sister. She told me that she already knew, and I said, how? And she said, well, you know, so-and-so told me. I said, really? I just told her I was bi. And she said, well, she told everybody else you were gay.
Nice.
And so I was like, oh, well, I might as well come out to them anyway, because they're going to want to hear it from me to know that it's true. So they're not like, you know, maybe she was just making it up. So I went ahead and I told everybody else. And the bad thing about them having, you know, forewarning is they each had their little speech prepared of, like, reasons why I'm gay and, like, ways I could not be gay. It was ridiculous. I would have to stop them after about 15 minutes and say, hey, look, this is the way I am. You need to accept me. Or if you don't, then that's okay by me, but I'm not going to have any association with you. But my family is all very accepting. They all made sure that I knew they didn't condone it. Each one of them said that. I don't condone it, but I love you, Seth. And, yeah, that's pretty much my story. But, like, whenever I'm out in a public place, whenever I go to a new school, if I feel that it's imperative that people know, I let them know. Otherwise, I don't really wear it on my shirt or anything. But I will be on October 11th. I'll be having rainbows all over me.
Awesome.
So who's next?
Would you like any feedback?
Okay, go ahead.
Just kidding, guys. Sorry, little inside joke. We can go in order, like, line-wise, or we can just talk.
Let's go with you, Pam.
I
have the leaders go first.
Co-presidents! Yeah. Okay. Air. No. I have a number of coming out stories. I'm not going to share all of them because that would be very time consuming.
We don't have that much time.
No, it's all about me. Don't even go there.
The universe revolves around you. No, the world revolves around you. The universe revolves around me.
Honey, no. Anyway. Nice. Drop of equipment. Good.
Just dropped a couple of CDs.
No, but for real, when I came out, it wasn't a huge ordeal. So the one story that I am going to tell, I'll tell two. One is the reason that I came out, the motivation. And secondly, just one funny story because I thought it was hilarious. Whenever I first came out to myself, I did a lot of self-searching. Was like, all right, maybe I'm just a huge lesbo. Who knows? So I decided to try it out. And I did. And I dated someone for about a month or no, a little over a month and a half.
Must not have been too important if you can't remember.
Very important, but time-wise, it was very unclear about when we started dating. So that's why I say
I've been there.
Yeah, we all know. But you just always think you're dating people. They just never know.
Oh, wow. Wow. That hurts. That hurts. I need some iodine for that burn. Yeah.
Anyway, no, but this girl, she's always very afraid that her parents were going to find out. She ultimately ended up committing suicide because of it, because of this fear that she had. So that's very near dear to me. That's very close to me. I'm very anti-suicide, you know, suicide prevention all the way, like, you know, permanent solution to a very temporary problem in most cases. So that's definitely not a good thing to do. But that was the motivation for why it was so important for me to come out, was because she felt like she couldn't be out. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll just be out. And so I did. I came out to a lot of people. And one of the people that I came out to is my grandmother. Okay, now my grandmother is my mother's stepmom. And her father has been married 7 times. So just some woman who we say is my grandma. No, I love her to death. She's sweet as candy. That's why we call her that. And she's adorable. Cute. And I love her. And she's very accepting. When I came out to her, I was actually talking to her through the internet. Who guessed? And I asked her what her opinions on homosexuals were, and she was like, oh yeah, 2 of my best friends are gay, totally cool with it. And I was like, oh well, how do you feel about, you know, gayness in the family? And she was like, why? So I told her that she had a gay family member. She's like, oh, I do. And I was like, yeah, me. And honestly, funniest thing in the world to me, whenever I came out to her, what she said to me is, Paige, not that I'm gay, but I wish I could have had that experience, because you're getting to do what you want to do and you're getting to be who you want to be without reservation, which is very, very true. Mm-hmm. I tend not to hold reservation with myself because that's just, you know, not healthy.
It's also a waste of time.
Well, yeah. And in some cases, that's okay to take time, but for me, it wasn't. It just wasn't acceptable. I had to be out and gay and all the way.
Yes,
you know?
Be who
very
you
gay.
Are.
But, and that was cool. But, yeah, so it was very funny when I came out to her, and actually, very soon, I will be going to visit her, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to take her to a gay club. And she definitely wants to go with me. She's like, yeah, come on, let's go. Definitely. And my grandfather doesn't know that I'm gay, although I don't know how. I mean, I have gay bumper stickers all over my car.
It's true.
And
your car is so gay, rainbows come out of the tailpipe.
If he doesn't get it from that, he's just never gonna. But no, I do feel like I need to respect him in his old age, because he's not doing very well health wise. Mm. So I'm gonna respect that and not try to kill him with the news. So, or just let him live for a little while. Awesome. You know, love him for the bowling alley and stuff. So we're just gonna stick with that. But no, but yeah, so she's definitely a funny person, and she's very accepting, so that was good. And there were also those negative experiences, but for the most part, it was a good experience. And I'm going to go ahead and let you guys go, and then I'm going to tell another funny story after you guys tell lame ones.
Wow, you can feel the love in this booth.
How about Maddie go first, or out of the two of you, anyway? Okay, no paper, rock, scissors, honey. Just go.
We can flip a coin.
Well, I mean, I really... Can I hear my... Can't... Okay, whatever.
I can hear you, okay.
Just checking. So...
You actually don't have to be like, right here. It's gonna be okay.
How close?
No. If you get that close, it's actually bad.
Yeah.
For, yeah.
So, I don't really have coming out stories. All my coming out stories were like... And stages. Yeah, like everybody's life, it was stages, really. I mean, I didn't have any. I mean, besides my grandmother finding some dresses and stuff in the closet shoved under sheets and blankets and everything. Not much I can do about that. And
we could have said, they're my girlfriends.
Sure.
Who would have believed that?
I live on top of a hill in the middle of the hill country. No girl around for miles.
No wonder you're gay. Just kidding, guys.
There wasn't no guys around either.
Oh, pity.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, that does.
No, there was only, well, maybe the hermit that ran the steel down the way, but...
Oh, that's cool.
But, no, I mean, I guess really the only time I came out was maybe... Well, I came out to my dad and everything about, like, let's say, a month and a half ago, which I kind of told him before, but... So I went for the shock and awe campaign. I said, forget it. I know it's... So I just dressed up and sat in the chair watching a movie and everything. And he walked in and was like, huh? I was like, yep, that's right. And he sat down. Do you want to talk? Nope. Do you want to say anything? Nope. Anything you want to say? Absolutely not a thing. Anything you want to ask? No. So we sat there for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours. Went to leave because I was supposed to meet a friend, and then I had my friend call me. I'm not going to make it yet. I'm going to be a little late. So guess what? Another hour. Two more hours. 3 more hours added to that. And then I got ready to leave again, and they say, no, here's my friend again. I'm going to be even later. So another hour. Another 2 hours. And now, after all the hours...
Were you up for, like, 24 hours sitting in the living room with your father?
It felt like...
It seemed like...
Felt like it. So, finally, I got ready to leave, and he asked me, what did I ever do? I said, well, you and my mother got together, and that was that. So, I mean, I don't know that y'all did anything.
That's
else.
Pretty self-explanatory.
I'm like, you should know what you did, so... I said, I was born this way, and that's about as much as I can go with it. I mean, well, you used to bait your own hook. I'm like, yeah, and I used to watch The Little Mermaid 5,000 times in a day.
Me too. Wow.
Awesome.
I hated that movie.
I think that's something that a lot of people in the GLBTQISAO community have in common. Well, you're atypical.
Yeah, except for her. So we got to give her excuse. She was more of the Hunchback of Notre Dame kind of guy.
So, hey, Matt, if you don't mind me asking, do you care to elaborate on maybe what he meant by, and what you meant by dressing up, and what he might have meant, or what
you
meant by asking?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Because not everyone can
you were
see
very
you.
Vague.
I mean, we can see you, but not everyone can.
Well, I'd just say I identify as trans, which, if you don't understand, that means... one to another, like transportation, you know, one side to another. So dressing up means I was all decked out as a chick with a couple other and everything. So that was the big shocker. But then again, I felt that way for a long time, so it wasn't a shocker to me, just him. And so, like I said, he couldn't figure out what it was, and even though we kind of talked about it, like, after I graduated, I gave him a letter about it. So that's what I mean. My coming out was casually. It was over a year and year and everything else. And last thing he said before I left, well, you know your aunt was gay and everything. I said, not till, like, a year ago when your mother told me. Well, she was. I was accepting of her, so I guess I'll have to be accepting of you and everything. And he's been pretty good. I mean... occasionally we get into that, like, talkings, and, I mean, the last time we talked, it was about the fact, why do you have to carry a purse? Why can't you just carry a backpack? It's easier, and we don't have to worry about you not taking in the work or anything. I said...
And they won't have to worry about taking you shopping for 3 hours looking for that new Gucci bag.
Nice.
No. He had to wait the next day when I sat him in the car and went into the mall looking for 5 hours for a Louis Vuitton.
Oh, wow. That was good. That was good.
So, I mean, yeah, could you imagine how the look on my dad's face when I walked into the mall and walked out with 20 bags?
Jeez.
He knew I couldn't stay in the mall.
That's like my sister.
Maybe we should meet her.
She might let you borrow some of her purses. She has a whole closet full, and then yet she has another closet for her shoes.
But that's
so. Getting back on the topic.
I'm sorry.
We're continuing to tell our coming out stories, and Maddie shared hers. Was there anything else you wanted to say about your coming out experience?
No, like I said, it's just been clean cut, and everybody's been accepting, so I don't really have a coming out story. Now, when I tell my mother, then I'll have something to share, but that's not happened yet, so.
Well, next year.
I don't want to do it next year. I want to do it, like, in 20 years.
Oh, well, there you go.
Not really. I'll probably be out next year.
Didn't you just say your mom was gay?
No, my aunt.
If my mom
was gay, that would be a shocker to me. Hello, Mom, I'm gay. Well, so am I.
Some people say that.
Yeah,
I hope not.
But,
I guess I have to go.
Time for Amber.
Yes.
Well, I didn't really have much of a coming out story because my deal was I hung out with a whole bunch of dykes anyway. Okay.
Luckily, we don't fall under that one.
Well, so you're around the beach?
Anyway.
With a whole bunch of lesbians.
Always
that
sorry,
went to
joke.
My school. And my mom kind of got the point from that. But she took me and set me up with one of her friends to go spend the day together and go swimming and all that good stuff. And her friend started asking me a whole bunch of questions that were kind of personal. And, of course, my stupidity, I answered them.
Not like she wouldn't known already.
Right? And apparently, when she dropped me off, her and my mom went to go have a drink and to talk about what me and her had talked about. And that night, my mom comes home completely not all there in the head. She was drunk. But she started yelling at me because of the answers I had given to the questions. And 2 hours later, still being yelled at. But, after a couple hours of being yelled at, she finally gave up and gave me a hug and said, "Well, you're still my daughter. I still love you. What are y'all doing?"
Sorry, I'm getting air kisses. I'm very sorry. Very sorry. Go ahead.
Y'all are rude.
Go. Sorry. Very, very sorry.
I apologize.
You know we love you.
But we're all here for you.
Or we'll at least put up with you.
But anyways, lost train of thought, guys. Thanks.
Your mom gave you a hug.
I said that I was still her daughter. She still loved me. And I'm still her baby girl. Because I'm the youngest. Go figure. And that was pretty much the end of it. But she told me not to tell my dad. And my dad didn't find out till I decided to move a girl into the house. That wasn't true. But he finally figured it out. And he didn't talk to me for a while. And now we're pretty cool. We actually talk about girls and stuff. It's pretty fun.
Do y'all, like, watch girls together and check them out?
Ew, no. Just kidding.
I do that with my sister. It's so fun. I'm like, ooh, what do you think about that one? And she's like, he's kind of cute, but nah.
However, my uncle, before my dad had found out, took me to place.
Go ahead.
But he took me to a place, and we were walking around. It was outside, walking around, and this girl walks really fast past us, and he goes, "Ooh, damn, check out badass." And I go, "Holy cow." It was so funny, and he's like, "I knew it."
Awesome.
He knew it. I don't know why, but he knew.
Well, a lot of parents have that intuition.
Not many girls are going to go, "Holy cow, she's hot."
No, before, he's doing it to test me, okay, guys?
Well, you know, a lot of parents have that intuition. Like, my mom, she's like, "I knew before your sister told me." I was like, "When did you figure it out?" "When you were sitting in your fuzzy blue chair with a pot on your head watching Little Mermaid 5 times a day.
Nice.
Could have been like my grandmother who said, "I knew before you were even born."
That's cool.
Does she do the needle trick?
Yeah. Nah, it was, I remember her saying, well, I just knew it because you were always like baking cookies. I said, well, who doesn't? Cookies are good.
Nice. I love to bake. And I'm gay.
I still bake cookies with her every Christmas, actually.
I bake cookies with my grandmother on Christmas.
Awesome.
Actually, I bake cookies with my grandmothers. No, I bake cookies with my grandmother more than just at Christmas because I live with her. Yeah.
I wonder how those taste.
That reminds me of that cannibal joke.
No.
Two cannibals are eating a clown. One turns to the other and says, does this taste funny to you?
So you had a funny story.
We need a sound effects board in here.
No. I had a funny story. A good friend of mine, one of my teachers, actually. Of course, I'm friends with all my teachers. I've known her since I was in fifth grade. And I had her as a teacher when I was in eighth grade. So, in all, I've known her for nine and a half years almost. It's a very long time to know a person considering I'm only 18, you know? Considering I met them through school. It was very interesting. But she and I got very close during the school year. We always hung out because I had off periods during school, so I'd always go talk to her. And I was reading a book that had something to do with homosexuality. And one of the books is called It Happened to Nancy, which has nothing to do with homosexuality, but has a lot to do with AIDS, HIV/AIDS. And I did a bunch of research on it and all those kind of things. And talked to her about that, which led to discussions about homosexuality, inevitably. And I got to hear all her, you know, opinions on it. And, you know, I won't mention her name or what school I went to or where, what city or anything like that. But I could, you know, swear up and down this woman was gay. But so I'm not outing anyone. Not outing anyone tonight. Especially not on the radio. But, no, it was very funny because, like I said, we talked about all those things. And when I came out, she's one of the first people I came out to. And I wrote her an email. And the only thing that I said was, you know, hey, a lot of cool things are going on in my life. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I've made a lot of changes. She writes me back and says, what, did you finally come out? I mean, honestly, like, I wrote her back, and I just had to ask, you know, how did you know? And she's like, please, everyone knew. Everyone knew. And I'm like, what? How? And it was just hysterical to me, because we still talk about it to this day. And she still tells me she's very proud of me, that I'm, you know, an activist for the very long name of the community. I'm going to call the gay community tonight for the sake of time. But, yeah. It's funny and serious and heartfelt and sincere and all of these great things all rolled into one of my favorite coming out stories, because it's in my head hilarious because of the relationship she and I have. But to most people when they hear it, it's not very funny, obviously. But that's okay. Yeah. That's cool. But yeah, it is one of my favorite coming out stories. But it's cool to know that you have the support of... Okay. It's good to know...
Don't worry, it's my fault, so...
Everything's your fault. Just kidding.
Hey, guess what? This is my fault, too. Click.
No.
That's a mean thing to do.
It's called the power.
Anyway. No, but yeah, it's very cool to have people in your life like that who are very accepting of you, willing to listen, very open, and also... They know. Like, they can tell, and they know enough about the issue, whether they're gay or not. They know enough about it to talk to you about it on a very realistic level. Mm-hmm. And she's one of those people who, you know, even though I swear up and down she's gay, if she wasn't, she would research it just so she would be able to talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. Because that's how she is. And that's one of the most amazing things to me, to find in people.
And she wouldn't be like my family researching for cures.
No, and... No, not at all. She, actually, she's this person who, like I said, I talk about her all the time. But like I said, I'm not going to out her, in case she is gay. But she and I moved away from the city that I lived in at the same exact time. At the end of my 8th grade year, she moved to a different state, and I moved to a different city. So I haven't seen her since 8th grade, and I just graduated in college. So, like I said, we haven't seen each other in a long time, but we're still very close. And she's not a very personal person, especially with her students. She doesn't tell them things about her personal life, although mm-hmm. with me she did, or at least she has definitely grown to do that over the past 4 or 5 years. You know, she's told me things like, you know, when her mom died, when she went through different surgeries, when all those things happened. And it's very neat that she can share that with me. So it's a cool thing because she's understanding of my life and as I am of hers. Mm. So, yeah, but she still won't admit if she's gay to me or not. I asked, and she's like, I can't tell you. And I'm like, okay,
that's a yes.
Jesus.
That's
you
a
know,
yes.
You're just going to say that. That just has got to answer me. Yes. If it's no, say no. If it's yes, just say, you know, just don't answer.
If it's yes, say, I can't tell you.
Right. It just makes me laugh, but whatever. But, you know, that's one of my other, I guess, lame stories, but I think it's hilarious. But,
I was thinking I had a funny story, but then I forgot about it.
That's because nothing about you is funny.
Funny.
Oh!
Well, the only thing Ooh. Funny about you is your face.
Whatever. Don't even start with that.
Lisa looks better than yours.
Okay. Getting the insults here, guys.
Okay.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, before I have to pull up my referee whistle. Because we're getting close to the top of the hour, so we're going to take a little music break. Fortunately for us, we have the new Scissor Sisters CD.
Woo!
Here, so we played the one song a couple weeks ago, and this one we actually have the actual CD. So we're gonna play "She's My Man."
Are our mics gonna still be on during this?
No, I'm gonna turn your mics off.
Okay, because so last time that was a bad incident. Did you lose weight? Oh. You weren't there for that. Never.
Oh,
yeah, you remember.
I don't know. I try to turn it down. The fun thing is that when I pull it down so far, I can hear y'all talking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun when I'll break in and tell you, hey, you shouldn't have said that. And they go, was it on the air? I've done that to some people.
That's not very nice at all.
That's mean.
I've been certified evil.
I knew this.
I'm certified evil. Not evil. Evil.
Nice.
So eventually you'll meet him again and he'll tell you how evil I am. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. It's time for Scissor Sisters.
Lunatic parade. Well, it's right.
so I can actually hear myself.
Man.
Scissor Sister, She's My Man from the brand new CD. Ta-da!
Is that really what it's called?
The CD's called Ta-da!
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Again, this is the hat segment of After Hours Queer Radio with KPFT. The first half hour, we kind of talked about our coming out stories in light of coming at National Coming Out Day on October 11th. This, for a little while, we're going to probably focus on gay history, considering it's also Gay History Month, the month of October. In June, when we did our show, we kind of focused on the gay history or the history behind Pride Parade. But we wanted to kind of touch base on that again. And re-hit those topics. So one of the things I want to talk about tonight is really when the gay movement got started, which was in June of 1969 with the Stonewall Riots. They were riots in, I believe, New York.
Yeah, New York City.
That lasted 3 days, or three nights, rather.
Yeah.
And
it took break. They took the days off.
Right, of course they did. Yeah. Of course, they were too busy, you know, booking people. But, for three nights, police raided bars, if I'm not mistaken, gay bars in New York, and successfully arrested a lot of people that were a part of the GLBT community.
Yeah, because New York State at that time had some interesting laws. Mm-hmm. And first, one of the laws was a known homosexual was not allowed to purchase alcohol.
What?
Nope.
That was the law in there, that you couldn't serve alcohol to a known homosexual. The only place where that was enforced was in a gay bar. you had to wear at least three articles of clothing germane to your sex. So, a drag queen had to have on three items of men's clothing. If not, they were against the law. And the one law that is still on the books in New York City is if you want to play music in a bar, you have to have a cabaret license. Because the only reason you play music in a bar is to dance to. So you have to have this cabaret license to allow people to dance. So these are three things that were illegal at the time. And so the police had an easy time going in and raiding these establishments. Fortunately, the Stonewall, like many of the gay bars at the time, since they were so illegal, they were owned by the mafia. So usually they get a phone call from a cop that was on the take saying, hey, they're going to go raid this bar. You're going to go raid your bar. Get ready. And either they didn't get notice on this night, or just because of the circumstances of the day, the patrons, instead of being quiet and dutiful about it, because back in that day, even the big cities had police blotters in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And so, if you got arrested, it would say, John Smith of 123 Main Street was arrested in for drinking while homosexual. or Bob Jones of 713 Mockingbird Lane was arrested not wearing articles of clothing germane to his sex.
Let's note all of these addresses are fake. Don't look for them in Houston or New York, guys.
I think 713, if I'm correct, is let's see. I forget if that's the Munsters or...
who knows?
I think it is the Munsters.
The Munsters. So, there was always that great fear, so no one ever fought back. And so, the police would come, and there was double doors on the bars. You had to... Basically, it was kind of like an airlock. Some of them were airlocks. Some of them were like the old speakeasy you open up.
Right.
You give a password, you can come in. And they would, if the police were coming, they flipped a light on, and everyone knows, hey, we got to be careful. You know, everybody put the drink down, because if it's not in your hand, they can't say it's yours. They line up everybody, they arrest a few people, and usually go on their way. Mm-hmm. But most of the people were still in mourning, because that day they buried Judy Garland,
right,
who was a large icon in the gay community. And part of the theory of what happened was the jukebox was playing, and it happened to be playing a Judy Garland song. And when the cops came and the lights came on, and somebody said, we're not turning off the jukebox. Because normally it would unplug it. So the police can say, hey, they weren't playing music. They don't have, so they weren't in violation of the cabaret license. And for some reason, this one night, they fought back. And they let the music play, and they arrest people, put them in the back seat of the police car. They'd slide over to the other side and get out. And I guess they didn't have the locking doors like they do now, where you can't open it from the inside.
Yeah, probably not.
And so this is what it started with. It was a group of drag queens and hustlers who basically said, we're not going to take this anymore. And everyone else came, and they started the chant of out of the bars and into the streets.
Right. I heard a common misconception is that everyone was a part of this fight. And I've done a lot of research about it. And initially, what I've heard continuously from most credible sources is that it was the drag queens and the transgenders and the huge bull dykes and the hustlers, yeah, really, who were the ones who would fight, who were the ones who would throw the stones, who were the ones who would fight back with the police and say, no, we're not going to stand up for this, or we're not going to stand for this anymore. And someone I know has made it a huge point in their life to make sure people know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured I'd mention that.
Because before Stonewall, really, the way the gay rights movement was going, being led, was by two organizations, the Mattachine Society and the Daughters of Bilitis.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, their philosophy was assimilation on that, where if they went up to, you know, protest or make comments about things like that, the men dressed in suits, they looked the clean cut, you know, 1960s, the women wore dresses, and basically they were showing, look, we're just like you.
Mm-hmm.
And what Stonewall turned it around, saying, we're not just like you, but you have to respect us. And so the first day of rioting, the police came and people were getting out, and finally the police that showed up had to actually retreat inside the Stonewall Inn, the bar, to protect themselves from the crowd.
Right.
And the crowd tried burning them down, burning them out, getting them out of there. They had to use the phone to call for backup, and for some strange reason the backup call was delayed 45 minutes. And then when they finally did arrive, it was 1960s big city police going after a riot. The horses, you know, the batons, the big shields,
right,
sort of thing. And they fought for a while, and then people started coming out of the bars and joining in support. The next day they came down, the police came down as a big show of support to, you know, shut down the bars again, and even more people came out. And for three nights, it was these continuous clashes. And then finally they said, you know, we can't keep doing this. You know, basically the cops said, we're getting our asses kicked by a bunch of pansies and queers and faggots.
What can you do?
And it's like, we need to find a truce to get out of here. Imagine that, an exit strategy. And it finally, you know, settled down. Some of these laws and that had changed. But this was the spark. They called it the hairpin drop heard round the world.
Yeah.
Is the thing. Because it was in honor of the drag queens that were the ones who came out there and, you know, kicked up a chorus line of, we are the Stonewall girls. We wear our hair in curls. I forget the rest of it there. There's a couple different versions of it. And doing a line kick down the street in the middle of a riot, in Rockette style.
But in all reality, honestly, the worst person to get into a fight with is a drag queen, because...
Can you imagine having a stiletto stuck in your back?
No, I mean, they're tough as guys. They have the masculinity of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy as women.
But they're crazy as women. I mean...
And those long fingernails.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, come on.
The hair worst pulling, person the eye gouging. Oh, my goodness.
But after Stonewall occurred, the gay rights movement did move forward, and at first very slowly. Actually, at first, right after Stonewall, it was kind of fast. But then
It had the notoriety, and then it kind of...
Right, but then it kind of died out. It moved very slowly. And,
I think the next way... Because one of the things is, you know, I've said it before with, you know, my work with Q Patrol, we're a very reactionary society.
Mm-hmm.
We need something to stimulate us. So the Stonewall riots gave us a kick in the pants. And then in the 70s, it was Anita Bryant. Yeah, Anita Bryant, who started off this big platform of anti-gay rights situation, and that was our first big national boycott of Florida orange juice, because she was spokesperson for Florida orange juice, and that's actually where the first gay rights protest here in Houston started over, is that she came to town and was speaking in front of the American Bar Association, and they were going to get... They decided they were going to have a little protest to walk down there and have some speeches and all that. And they were just talking about recently a Lone Star activist. You know, they were telling the police, you know, we're expecting, you know, a couple, you know, maybe 1,000 people to show up. And the cops said, you don't get 1,000 Houstonians to protest anything. And there was more like 5,000 to 10,000 people who showed up in the 70s to protest this. And they didn't have a permit, so they weren't allowed to walk in the street. They weren't given a permit for it, so right. They had to walk on the sidewalks and follow traffic, and, you know, if this cross, you know, watch for the light and all that. And eventually, the cops saw the large group, and they said, "Look, just come out in the street. We'll shut it down for you," because it was such a surprise to see that many people come out
for any cause, really.
For any yeah. cause, and that's one of the things that you see these things come up and hit there. You know, then. Took there 8 years ago with the death of Matthew Shepard, how many people, how much interest there was in...
Yeah, in the movement.
In the movement,
for saying,
there.
You know, okay, this is unacceptable. When there was not only, you know, awareness raised about HIV, AIDS, but there was also awareness about hate crimes. There was also awareness about homosexuality. And there was also awareness about how people react to situations like that, and why we can't let people be harmed just so that we all understand.
Yeah.
Which was a big deal, because there were a lot of people being harmed, and whether it was very publicized or not, in certain communities, and as like local communities, if a person's harmed in any way, you're gonna hear about it and you're gonna have a reaction to it, and whether, like I said, it's on. In Matthew Shepard's case, on a national level, or if it's just local, there's going to be a reaction. There's going to be something happening for it. And to know that someone has to die for people to listen was not acceptable anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely changed. And there's been a fast-paced race towards gay rights since then that I've heard about.
Well, also, yeah, when we have that here in Houston, when... gosh, it must be 15 years ago, Paul Broussard
mm-hmm.
Was murdered. I don't know how many of you heard about that. That's our kind of Matthew Shepard for Houston. He came out of the bar Heaven, which is now South Beach. There's a couple different stories floating around. Unfortunately, you know, the survivors get to amend their tales.
Right.
And supposedly, they walked over a couple blocks to where he was parked, and some guys approached him, and at some point, a gay panic set in, and Matthew and two of his friends were attacked by about a dozen teenagers. Paul's friends. Paul got away. One of his friends escaped unharmed, and one got attacked slightly and managed to get away, but Paul was beaten severely, and the police and the fire department and the ambulance showed up. They wouldn't touch him, because here's this bloody gay man in, you know, early 90s in the Montrose.
Right.
And there was the AIDS panic, and they finally got him down to the took him to the hospital, didn't take him to the trauma hospital, and he passed away from his injuries. And the community was in an uproar, because his was most horrific. There was three other deaths that week, three other gay attacks that led to death. There were shootings in the neighborhood. And, you know, several, you know, 1,000 people showed up on the street, the intersection, to protest this. And the police came down and said, you know, started doing a little sting operation, pretending they're, you know, walking around the neighborhood, and they got attacked. And the one guy, when he was getting arrested, said, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were a cop. I thought you were a fag. That's the only reason I was beating you up, and thought that would get him out from being in trouble.
Good choice there.
And you know, that was a big step in our community, that we got together, and, you know, during that time you started seeing some work about group, you know, the city coming and trying to help out our community, bringing in more police protection, and we'll talk a little bit more about rights being granted in the government.
Right, and it's when talking about police protection, it's important to note that there are a lot of laws in place now that were not in place for a very long time with regard to employees, employer protection, which isn't really that... It's not really that much in Texas.
No, no, and really not even the federal. The only kind of protection you have for being gay at work is if your company has a policy that says we don't discriminate.
Right.
There is no national... ENDA has not gone through, and Texas is a right-to-work state.
Right.
So, you know, you can come in any day and they can fire you and they don't even have to give you a reason.
Yeah, and ENDA is trying to get passed, but it still needs a lot of work. But one of the other laws that was repealed in Texas is the sodomy law, which is important. It was a very important step, especially for Texas and gay rights. One of the more recent triumphs of the GLBT community is the recent press that the transgender community got when Officer Julia Oliver came out as being transgendered and going through transition on HPD. She definitely brought a huge relief, especially to the transgender community, which is amazing, really, because they needed that. Because I mean, for a long time there was the fight for transgender to be back, to be re-included in the GLBT community rather than it just be like the GL or GLB community.
Or just given something besides more than lip service.
Right, right. Because oftentimes transgender people, drag queens, are used as only fundraising and things like that, and that isn't necessarily a good thing. So yeah, it was a good triumph, and it's important to note that while it seems like there are a lot of things holding us back, especially with the whole gay marriage thing, that there are still... things are still being accomplished. Progress is definitely still being made. And although it seems slow to some people, if you talk to somebody who's 60 years old, 70 years old, they're going to tell you it's a lot different from when they grow up. When they grew up, and it is. Because of all that's happened. And, of course, I am not that old. Of course, I am 18. And, yes, I've learned a lot of these things. No, I didn't live through a lot of them. No, I don't remember a lot of them. But I know about them. And I know the changes that took place. You can watch documentaries galore about it.
Yeah.
And just to understand all of the changes that happened, to understand where we are now versus where we came from, is very, very cool. And then to know that us four sitting right here are part of Hatch, which is a group, a gay group, that helps teach us better leading skills, better skills to be involved with the community, better things like this, which is what we're doing right now. Being on this radio show, being part of the community, and talking about issues. That's something that's going to encourage our youth and encourage us even to be a part of the community and work for the better of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So having establishments like Hatch is definitely an important thing, which they didn't have. Well, they've...
I don't even remember Hatch.
87?
Yeah, 1987.
Yeah. 87. Okay, so I could have been in Hatch.
For like a year? Or two? Or five?
Six?
I think you would have made a good member.
Okay. But, you know, I didn't find out about Hatch until... after doing work with the radio show, and then several years ago I was a guest lecturer a couple of times.
Yeah.
At some of the things. And, you know, it's one of the things I've always said, if you know, I've always been amazed with being a part of Hatch is seeing the young people, you know, being out. And someone said, well, you know, they're not really all out, but they're out to themselves at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a place you can come be yourself.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in high school, I was just coming to terms with being, you know, that I was, figured I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't know anything about it, didn't experience any of that, because I'm out in the suburbs. You know, my high school, the high school I graduated from, made news a couple of years ago when they got a Gay Straight Alliance. Klein High School.
So I was like, Klein? I wanted to say Klein, but I knew that wasn't right.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a big step from where I, you know, out in suburbia where I'm at, we're at,
yeah,
with that school. And, you know, to see that sort of, that progression and that move on that, of having a young generation who's able to stand up and say, you know, this is who I am. You know, I've always been in awe of that with working with Hatch, being part of the radio show here.
One of the last things I want to say before we take another break is Hatch recently started something called the Hatch Youth Leadership Summit, which is, if any of you had know about the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, the previous executive director put together something called Leading and Learning, which is a program that gives you training on a corporate level of things, skills that you would acquire in a corporation to help manage time, manage projects, things like that. And Hatch has been given the opportunity to create something called the Hatch Leadership Development, or Hatch Leadership Summit or something like that, which ties into the Hatch Leadership Development Program, which is kind of a training to give us skills to go and be interns at different places and have these great skills and learn to be better leaders for the future. And one of our statements that we always say is Hatch is tomorrow's leaders. And that's very true. And a lot of people who have been in Hatch are definitely prominent leaders in the gay community now. So it's good to know that there are so many people coming to Hatch and that so many people are very passionate about Hatch. And even older people who can't be a part of Hatch but can be speakers, facilitators of Hatch, always say, you know, if I would have had this when I was younger. And they're always very passionate about it, which is a good thing to know, because that lets us know that we also have the support of adults.
I love you guys.
Anyway.
Okay, so I've did a little searching, and I've got a song we're dedicating to your grandmother.
Jeez, I wish she could listen.
Well, it's on
it's on the internet.
Yeah, it's on the internet.
We'll
so you can you can download it there. Cause, so this is a dedication to your grandmother from you.
From me.
From you to
her.
I
love you.
So put on the headphones so you can hear the song.
Okay.
You have to have an idea what it is. You got to have a clue.
I don't really.
I don't see this.
Is this I'm a Lesbian? Okay.
That would be funny. I know this song. Girl, I want to take you to a gay bar.
Beth, honey, who sings this? Let
Electric
them.
Six.
Like let it. Them.
Yeah. If you come in here, you can see the video.
I love the video.
Oh, boy.
So I decided to walk in on the last part of that video right there.
It was
good.
Hilarious.
The video by Electric Six features several Abraham Lincolns.
Yes. Nice.
In one scene, they're all pole dancing with leather harnesses.
Oh, my.
Hilarious.
It's real funny. If you want to see the video, go to Electric Six. It's spelled out SIX.com, and you click on the video section on that, and they have a thing on there from YouTube. So that's for your grandmother.
Awesome. I'm gonna make her listen to that. She's going to love it. Jeez. It's going to be awesome. Okay, well, did any of you guys want to elaborate on anything gay history related? Seth, you look like you want to just, like, pound your hand down and say something. But don't.
Yeah, that table's not really that sturdy for her.
I did have something to say, but it slipped my mind. I don't know why I always do that.
Okay.
I swear I have many strokes or something.
Next time you come in, we'll give you a little pencil and paper, and you can write little crib notes to yourself.
No, it's a good idea. That. We really should do that.
We really should.
Yeah.
Okay, Maddie, you kind of look like you might have wanted to say something, too, so...
No, I'm fine.
Cool, well, then I'll just keep talking.
Oh, no, we got to say something. We got to say something. Come on, Amber.
We're about time with wrapping up and
all
that.
Do you have a mute button?
Yeah.
Not for you, I'm talking about for...
It's not very nice.
Yeah, turn her mic off.
Why, she'll just talk into one of our...
Yes.
Yeah, the microphones are well enough that, you know, we could broadcast off of just one.
But we
That's
don't.
That's no fun.
Yeah.
But, no, one of the... How much...
We can take a couple minutes if we want to talk about it, because it is something that's in the news, and we did cover a little bit last week.
Okay. Again, one of the things that's in the news right now is... Mark Foley, previous rep Mark Foley from Florida. He is allegedly charged of misconduct with a minor, sexual misconduct with a minor. Yeah. And do any of you guys know about this?
Yeah,
it's on the news everywhere.
That doesn't mean you know about it. I'm just asking.
He was sending emails to a 16-year-old.
Right. So what do you guys what do you guys think about that?
I think it's disgusting, but the thing that actually the thing that makes me just as sick from hearing that is, you know, the media's focus on the fact that it's a homosexual act and not the child molestation, like you were talking about earlier.
First of all, one part about it is
alleged. By the way,
well, actually, I haven't heard anything saying that he actually had contact with the individuals that he actually...
Yeah, it's more just emails. Sexual harassment.
Well, I don't know about, like, physical contact or anything, but, yeah, over the internet with emails and instant messaging and such.
Yeah, there was a... the one part that's a little bad with this, in fact, is that the first one that we actually read last week on air, we did a little radio play of the first IM that came out, it's since been discovered that that guy was 18 at the time. The first one that was broadcast.
Hmm.
It's also kind of cute.
Of course it is.
Yeah, 21-year-old Pacific Islander. So, I was doing some research on the stuff with this stuff, but you know, they've got these other stories that have come out that are a little bit stronger with, you know, the younger person. And I mean, it's one of the things we hear about a lot Dateline did this. Their standard issue thing last night, supposedly, of To Catch a Predator,
mm-hmm.
where they're talking about this stuff. And it's, I want to get the part I was wanting to bring up with this group here is, you know, with the time that you spend on the internet, do you feel that you're being, I mean, have you experienced this predatory attack? Do you feel that it's this minefield out there that. Or do you think you have enough of wisdom and understanding that you're going to be able to avoid getting pulled into this? It's a little loaded, I know.
No, yeah, but that's okay. I personally have a lot of... Not... Okay, don't take this the wrong way. I do not have a lot of experience with being pursued by older people as them being predators. I, in my past, have dated willingly, very willingly, older people, most of which I did not meet through the internet. Only one. And that was, you know, whatever. So I don't particularly think age differences are a big problem, but if it isn't well received, if it's not desired, I think that it is. And there's always speculation on that, and people can always lie about it. But a lot of my friends have been, sucked in to that kind of predatorial kind of thing, which is never good. And it's all about what you're comfortable with, what you feel safe with, and also, do you know your limitations? Do you know what you can and can't do, and when you need to say, okay, this seems unsafe, maybe I should not talk to them? And with me, yeah, I definitely feel that way, but I talk to people all the time, and that's just me. But what do you guys think?
I think most teenagers just realize that there's someone there on the internet, that they're being honest, in quotations, because they think that they're having a nice conversation, and they don't realize that the person on the other end could be lying,
mm-hmm.
even though, you know, most teenagers who are on the internet themselves are lying about their age and just a whole bunch of random stuff. And so, yeah, they can get sucked into it if they're dumb about it, which most teenagers are.
But not to say that all teenagers who get sucked into it are because of dumb mistakes that they may have made.
Okay? I know. I know that. I'm not saying that, But if you're really smart about it, you won't even... Most people will get sucked into it if you're smart about the way you go around, go out.
So I think the question is, do you think that you are smart enough to avoid it, to know when to say okay and when not to?
I'm smart enough for it.
Okay.
I think I'm smarter being older, but if you were being younger, especially 13, and you're already going through the hormonal and teenager trends, you're out there trying to talk to as many people and many stuff, because you'll talk to more people behind the screen than you will people face out. I mean, you'll talk to people you don't know that, from what they say, is half a world away, and so you don't have to worry about that technically getting back to people you know
mm-hmm.
on this side of the world. I mean... I've probably told a lot of people on the world about me before I even was ever close to telling other people, just because I knew that there was hardly any chance of that coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know who you're actually talking to.
Or where they're actually from.
Yeah, they could be right next door to you.
Exactly.
Okay.
One of my past experiences, like when I was about 13 or 14, I would go in chat rooms and like I would have like these 30-something and 40-something-year-old guys trying to talk to me. Even in the straight chat rooms, they would be doing that. And I would tell them I'm male and stuff. And it was just, I was kind of, I guess, grossed out by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it wasn't just the issue with age. It was also the issue with the legality of the situation. And because just the way our culture is with that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's those Aboriginal tribes over in Africa and Australia that do stuff. But anyway, I think that, you know, if you're going to start talking to somebody you don't know online, you should always take most of what they say with a good dose of doubt. That way, you know, you're on the safe side.
Okay.
And it's just, yeah, take it with a good dose of doubt. Never trust anyone that you don't know on the internet completely.
But trust can be built.
Yes, over time.
But just, yeah, definitely be cautious. Any last comments?
Don't meet in a... Make sure if you do somehow decide to meet somebody, make
meet
sure it's in a
public place with a lot of people and people you know.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, we're going to go ahead and kind of wrap up. I'm going to go ahead and run through some of the announcements of Hatch one more time. if you Hatch is putting on its annual youth awards banquet on Friday the 13th, October 13th, which is this coming up Friday. If you'd like to attend and you don't know the location already, go ahead and call the Hatch number at 713-529-3590, or you can visit our website at www.hatchyouth.org, or you can email our youth service worker at info@hatchyouth.org. Also, if you would like to just attend a regular Hatch meeting, or if you're having an issue with something gay-related, most likely, you can go ahead and also call that number. Again, it's 713-529-3590. In case of an emergency, please call the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard of Houston at 713-529-3211. And I'm pretty sure that's going to end Hatch session of the radio station.
Awesome.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good morning.
Okay, let's bring a little more Pansy Division before we get in with our Binet segment. This is After Hours.
There's many strangers pulse out on the plains of West Texas. There's many a young boy who feels things he don't comprehend. Well, small towns don't like it when somebody falls between sexes. No, small towns don't like it when a cowboy has feelings for men. Well, I believe in my soul that inside every man there's a feminine. And inside every lady there's a deep manly voice loud and clear. Boy may brag about things that he does with his women, but the ones who brag loudest are the ones that are most likely queer. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. What did you think those saddles and boots was about? There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. Inside every cowboy there's a lady who'd love to slip out. Well, 10 men for each woman was the rule way back when on the prairie. Yet somehow those cowboys must have kept themselves warm late at night. Cowboys are famous for getting riled up about fairies. But I'll tell you the reason a big strong man gets so uptight. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. That's why they wear leather and Levi's and belts buckled tight. There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. There's many a cowboy who's more like a lady at night. Well, there's always somebody who says what the others just whispered. And mostly that someone's the first one to get shot down dead. When you talk to a cowboy, don't treat him like he was a sister. Don't mess with a lady that's sleeping in each cowboy's head. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other. Even though they take speed and drive pickups and shoot their big guns. There's many a cowboy who don't understand the way that he feels towards his brother. There's many a cowboy who keeps quiet about things he's done.
no bogus journey. It's her heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. In the garage, they're practicing their guitar solos. But in the bedroom, they're practicing on one another. School was such a pain. What a way to waste your brain. 'Cause you know what's on their minds. Hey dude, 69. It's no bogus journey. It's their heart's true yearning. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin. Dumb, but they're not rubes. They got each other by the pubes, squeezing on one another's tubes. One's dark and one is blonde. Day and night they get it on. They got condoms in their pockets, plug into each other's sockets. They learn from Socrates and other ancient Greeks the art of homo love and sexual techniques. They may not be too bright, but they know what they like. A love affair most triumphant. It's no bogus journey. It's a boner journey. It's time for Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure to begin.
This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. It was a double shot of Pansy Division. Cowboys are frequently secretly fond of each other, and Bill and Ted's homosexual adventure. So I wanted to put a few things out there. I was doing some more research on the Mark Foley Page story. I can't help it. The boy's cute.
Yeah, well, it keeps getting a little more interesting in, with time.
Yeah. It took a while for me to find the website that had his pictures on it, and because I didn't remember the actual name of it.
Oh, that's what you were doing in there.
Yeah, and then there's this, I was just showing Paul, there was, during my searching yesterday, this was funny, the congressional page, who was 18 at the time when he was instant messaging back with Foley, the one that we read last week, his screen name, which they discovered, was Lolakana 223. Lolakana 223. So I was doing some searches on the net, and I put in just Lolakana. And came up with this personal, this thing on Zanga. What the thing is, it's a like, you know, MySpace and all the other stuff. And there was a person on there called Jordan Lolakana. And it's misspelled Jordan. It's a woman. So I was looking at the pictures going, they kind of look a little close. I had Paul look at it, who the photographer, who's familiar with that stuff. And I put the pictures next to each other of this girl, Jordan Lolakana, and the guy, Jordan Edmonston.
Yeah.
And it was looking back at the figure, and I said, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's different, but they both got this grin on them. You can see every one of their teeth.
Like the cat that ate the canary?
Yeah, so it was like one of those, I thought, you know, hey, I would have, if this is an actual connection, you know.
Yeah.
I start my clock for my 15 minutes of fame.
You can always hope, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your fame.
I was looking for the nationwide one, you know. I was looking for, you know, I don't have the groupies here in Houston, so, you know.
I think you might have more than you know you do.
Okay, it's after hours at kpft.org, and when I turn off my mic, it's 713-526-5738 for the groupies. Somebody besides the prisoners who's my... Wait, it reminds me, I'm going to read the letters here soon.
Yeah, well, the prisoners can't call you, hon, sorry.
Yeah, I know, but...
I was kidding about the fact that the one groupie I had sent me the email once saying that my voice does things to him. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to turn it over here to the Bi Show. We're calling it Binet now or Bisexual?
It's called Bisexual Auction. Not Auction. Bisexual Agenda.
Bisexual Auction?
I'm sorry, I was reading this book and it just happened to be on my mind, so it's...
Bisexual Auction. You had put in two bids, one for the, you know...
Easy, Curtis. Easy.
The men bid one amount, the women bid a different amount, and it's...
Well, you know, it used to be in 10, 20 years ago, and sometimes it still is. The guys make more than the girls. But then there's places that the women can make more money than the guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to shut up. At least for another 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Let y'all talk. Actually, I have to go check the facilities.
Oh, and here I was thinking about maybe getting you to get in on this because I'm fixing to read a poem and then we're going to try to touch just a
little. Well, you can. Lightly. It's not going to take me too long, you know.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
So just come back and join us. But
I will be. It's not like I go, I'm not like I'm going to smoke a cigarette. I just...
Hey, easy.
I don't suck that kind of fag.
Oh. Well, you're probably better off for it, too.
Yeah, so talk. Well, I got to get really drunk to smoke. So, unfortunately, that doesn't happen. All right, I'm going to shut up. You guys talk. I'll be back in a second.
Morning. This is Lynn, and I'm going to start out our segment with a little poem here. And the lady that wrote the poem, her name is Meryl Beryl. She does several poems. A lot of them being geared toward bisexual, because I am bisexual. And this one is called Pathway to My Soul. I have opened my eyes. I can see the sunlight embracing your sweet image. Each day I draw closer to the reality of your touch, your voice. Each day your words come closer to my soul. Each day I release the fear of loving another. You have me naked before you. I am vulnerable in this state. This is not merely passion or lust. It is a thing of friendship and trust. I see you now naked like me. Together we are vulnerable. Together we will open our eyes and the sunlight will embrace us. Shadows soon come and desire will run high. These shadows are not something to be afraid of. They are just windows into our soul. Bonding will take place on this special plateau. We, Robin's here. She's here more often than I am.
Yeah, usually David Mays, Great Bear Mays used to be here, but he's not in tonight. So it's just me and Lynn.
And we're going to try to pull this off. Don't know how good we'll do at it, but we're going to try. One of the things that's really on my mind lately is the subject of safe sex. There's been a dramatic rise in the HIV. Used to be that the rise was in the gay and lesbian community, and now that you're reading more and more, you're finding out that it's not just in the gay and lesbian community, but a lot of it's hitting in the straight community, and particularly females, supposedly monogamous females. Robin was telling me that it's also in the rise in the
African-American community with the African-American females, because a lot of males are kind of so quote-unquote down low. So a lot of the women doesn't know that this is going on, and they're not using, most of the time, they're not using safe sex. And because they in a monogamous relationship, they're not using safe sex, you know, protection and all that. So it's getting, what's really starting to get rapidly bad in the African-American community.
And it is on the rise in the straight community as well, and I think a lot of that in the straight community is because the men are afraid to tell their wives or their girlfriends that even if it's just one time, and that's all it takes is just one time, and they can catch HIV or gonorrhea or syphilis or any other number of the STDs that are out there, the sexually transmitted disease, I guess I'm lucky. I love my husband to death. I am bisexual. He knows me. He knows my tendencies, and he does not have a problem with it. He knows that I will be up front with him, in that if I'm not sure of my partner, that I don't have a problem with doing safe sex. Most of the guys out there know that really the guys have got it easy. Because all they need is a condom. We're women, on the other hand, we need condoms. We use those for our toys. When we change from our partner to ourselves, you need to change your condom.
Mm-hmm.
We can use for oral sex. We can use saran wrap as a barrier, or you can take a latex glove and cut the fingers, everything except for the thumb out, and split it on the side where the pinky finger's at. Use that as a barrier. I don't know if they sell them in the sex shops, but the dental dams, those are actually the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you can do research on the internet and find those there and order them.
They have female condoms, too. Just in case the guy doesn't want to use a condom, they ask to have female condoms, and you can buy them in your local drugstore.
And see, that's you're of a little bit younger generation than I am, and so you know about those things. I'm just used to back in my day, it was saran wrap, and if you got lucky enough and could come across dental dams, life was all good. And now newer generation, she says they have the condoms for women, which is great.
It's wonderful because it's actually made to be inserted into the female, so it doesn't feel weird or anything, and you can still have penetration normally.
But one of the things I like to get out there is, hopefully you love your partner or whoever you're with enough to be truthful with them, and they're understanding enough to know that you may not be just have feelings for a male or a female, depending on what your gender may be. And
what are you looking at me for?
Well, I was going to get your output here, Chris, because I'm not sure on the males. I'm thinking the only thing y'all have is just condoms for safer sex and protection.
Well, there is, with gay men, there is the use and need of dental dams as well when you're performing analingus, rimming.
Well, okay.
There is call for that, to protect yourself on that. There is condoms, and there are the issues in that with condoms. We've talked a lot about with condom safety and using it to perform safe sex and such. There isn't that. There's all they can do is make adjustments to making the condom easier. I mean, they've designed ones that are easy on.
Okay, explain that one to me, Chris. You got to understand. Consider my age,
mm-hmm.
and
it's not
my age group. It's one size fits all. But I've also heard that they do have larger condoms now for the larger men.
They have larger ones. They have smaller ones. You can get them custom made.
Yeah, because there's some people out there that got some pretty big ones. So.
And pretty small ones. Mm-hmm. And there, you can go to a site, and they will. You download this little guide. You print it out on your printer. And basically, you send them the dimensions that you need, and they will find the best fit for you.
Okay. Well, that's kind of like I was going to say, people that have access to the internet or to the library, one of their best places to look for information on that is going to be the internet.
Yeah, because there's that privacy issue. You know, I mean, you can go to. I still get emails from them all the time about discount this and discount that. I gotta let you know, first of all, though, while I'm looking that up, that you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Let me see here. I actually had ordered this, the custom fit kit, and it never arrived. I thought it was an interesting thing. Let's see. Shop for condoms. Yeah. Because, like, okay, I'm here on a condom website, and you go, they're pulled by type. And they've got to have probably 20 different versions. Of, you know, you can get your dental dams in here, cots and gloves, lubricated, non-lubricated, self-applicating. That's the one I was talking about, the easier fit, easier to put on.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to kind of get you to show me that and educate
you. I ain't showing you that.
Come on now.
Okay, this one looks a little... This one.
See, an old dog can learn new tricks.
This one doesn't show you how it... It does there, but I've seen some of these things here. There's one here with a speed strip applicator. And I've seen ones before. What it is basically it has wings on the end of it, little tabs where you hold on to.
Okay.
So rather than trying to put it on and roll it down, you put it on and they got these two tabs that aren't lubricated, and that way you can just pull it down on there quickly. I don't know if they've got it yet. I do know at one time they were talking about a spray-on condom.
Now that would be the bomb.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
With that.
See, I told you to get Chris involved in this conversation.
I don't see where they have it, but this website, they've got, you know, custom fit ones. Where you download... I ordered the kit because I didn't have a printer to download it. And, you know, you download this kit, and then they'll send you what they're called They Fit Condoms. And it's...
I'm going to assume that it's not all that expensive. It's actually a reasonable...
I haven't priced condoms because, you know, you get them everywhere for free.
Oh, yes, I get mine.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the custom fit.
The custom fit ones, a 12-pack will cost you $12.95.
That ain't bad.
That's not bad. And like I said, it's, there's 70 different sizes in this line. Ensure to fit every guy from 3 inches to 10 inches.
Yeah, well, if you're more than six, stay away from me.
And like you said, there are the larger ones, the magnums. I got to look at this one here. They call it Celebrity. Kiss Condoms.
Oh, yeah, I was going to mention that. They have condoms for, like, blowjobs.
Well, no, this is from the rock band Kiss.
Okay.
One of them is the Paul... The Paul Stanley studded condom.
Yeah.
And then the Gene Simmons tongue lubricated.
Leave it to Chris.
But yeah, they do have flavored ones that, you know, does...
See, I call them, I always get the Kiss of Mints. One that tastes like mint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this place... banana. Let's see the pair. Yeah, I got QC one time. I told somebody, I said, yeah, you know, put on a banana and strawberry and use whipped cream with me and just do me like a banana split.
Did they?
No, it was online. And
oh.
There's one company that's got strawberry, vanilla, banana, spearmint, and cherry.
See, I always say that makes it more safer, too, is use a lot of lubrication.
Yeah, causes a lot less friction.
And a lot of times when you do anal... that it's good to maybe clean out first.
that
before you like do an enema, and even do even better is to clean your colon out, period, you know, like the same day or whatever. Well, yes, you take some natural laxatives or something like that to clean your colon completely out.
They have Halloween condoms.
Yeah. What?
I'm just thinking if it's on the package or is actually on the condom itself.
Well, they say they have those that glow in the dark.
Yeah.
And that'd be just interesting.
Oh, it's just a Halloween image on the package, it looks like. Yeah, great for spooky parties and grown-up trick-or-treaters.
That can almost be very spooky, Chris.
That's not bad. You get 12 dozen of them at 62 cents a condom.
Well, you can use them throughout the year.
You can always put them in the little trick-or-treaters bags.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom and Dad will love you for that one. It'll be like when my niece brought her daughter down here for Pride Parade, and guess what the little darling that's all of about 5 years catches? One of the bags with ID lube and a condom.
Well, it's getting her ready.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, Lynn, for out where you live. Camo condom.
Oh, God.
Don't let them see you coming with these camouflage packaged condoms. Useful on those camping, fishing, and beaver hunting trips. Hey, I'm just reading it. But no, this is what I'm looking at is Condomania, which, like, it's all sorts of condoms and gifts and such there. But like I said, that's one of the important things that I saw on this site is the fact of the custom fit ones, so that you are, you can be safe. There is, you know, there's not that excuse. You know, you can't use the excuse that, first of all, you're too big for a condom.
Are you too small for one?
Well, too small, it can slip off. It can come off there.
Yeah.
But I showed that one time. I think it was one of the Hatch several years ago. Someone was talking about, you know, condoms are just too small for them. And I took a regular condom and put it on my hand and stretched it down. So basically I was wearing an evening glove. Now my hand was, you know, the fingers were all drawn in.
Yeah.
To that. But I put the condom on over my hand and down my forearm.
I mean, your hand is a pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking a male hand, and I'm an overweight guy, so my forearm has got some meat to it as well.
Oh,
and I said,
okay.
I pulled it down almost to the elbow. And if you're bigger than that, there's a career for you in the porn industry.
Really?
Or you stand on the street corner and you tell them you're selling it by the inch.
That goes back to there's no reason not to in this day and age.
Oh, man, I guess so many crazy excuses. Oh, I can't feel anything. I can't feel anything. Well, you can't feel anything. You need to go see a physician.
There's something wrong there.
And
I've actually had a lot of guys tell me that wearing a condom helps them prolong their time to enjoy themselves and to help them enjoy their female and even their male partner. In that respect. So, to me, that's not an excuse. Latex gloves is, far as I'm concerned, is one of the best protections out there. It can be used for dental dam in an emergency if you haven't had any forethought or thought about it beforehand. It can be used for fingering, cunnilus, analus, just any number of things. So they're just, you know, a real good thing in my book.
Yeah, one of the times when they had some sample packs out in over at the community center with stuff, and actually I turned it into a wedding present for my brother. Basically, he got married because he was common law married already with his wife,
mm-hmm.
because of their daughter. And then when their son was discovered, they got married for legit on that, you know, just as the peace came out and all that. And my wedding gift I brought them was from the condoms they had at the community center. Mm-hmm. And I brought them a selection of regular condoms, female condoms, and the dental dams.
Cool.
And everyone was looking at it. I was like, you know, it was a subtle hint saying, hey, you know, let's...
Let me try to explain to you what causes this.
And so she pulled out the bag and was showing around to, like, her mother and her sisters and girlfriends and all that. And, it, you know, they hadn't seen any of this stuff before.
Yeah.
And especially the dental dam. Mm-hmm. And on the back of it, it had diagrams showing you how to use it.
And that's not such a bad thing if somebody's never used one before.
Yes. I mean, I never used a dental dam before.
See, my generation, we didn't, when I first started out, we didn't have dental dams. We didn't have access to them. We used Saran Wrap.
Yeah. And see, there's some of that, I mean, they've got them, they're vanilla scented or taste, there's ones that have a wild berry, a vanilla, and a strawberry flavor. And basically, it's just that bit of, you know, a bit of extra protection. Put on there. The reason I was laughing the first time you were talking about that, I was remembering Aaliyah Delaria skit. She talks about dental dam. If you don't have a dental dam, use Saran Wrap. Why? So you can wrap it up and eat it later?
That could almost be a very bad lesbian joke.
I'm going to have to read this one later. Just looking at our MBB letters that we got there. Okay. One's looking for a pen pal, and the other one's from Tigger.
But, yeah, that was one of the things I did want to hit on was getting both the men and the females to start thinking about the safer sex. The safest sex is no sex.
I don't agree with that.
Well,
that's like saying the safest way to drive your car is stay at home.
Okay, let me rephrase that, Chris. Abstinence is the best guarantee against STDs.
Yeah, but it's not. Okay. It's not safest. It's not the safest sex because it's not sex.
Sex, exactly.
Yeah, masturbation is the safest sex.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, it's when you say you're going to abstain from it, it's like saying, you know, I have a perfect driving record because I never drive a car.
Yeah.
You know, that's
in today's society, in today's time, it's unrealistic to expect that to happen. It's not going to be, and I think that's one of the things they need to be in school is teaching this, and not just about the male condoms. I think they need to teach it male to male, male female, and female to female.
Because if you guys want a real scare, okay, you know, we talk mainly about the HIV test, mm-hmm. which is a blood test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of your other tests are blood tests. I forget which one of the STDs it is. You don't want to get that test because they take a swab sample. And it ain't from the inside. I mean, it's not from the outside. It's from the inside. Okay. And it's from the inside of the penis. And it is probably the most painful 30 seconds you will ever experience in your life, unless you're into urethra play.
No.
Because basically it is a thin metal tube with what looks like about a half inch of pipe cleaner stuck on the end of it.
Yow.
Yow.
And this is inserted into the penis, and not just on the inside. It goes back a little bit and to scrape out a sample of in there to see if there's any of the STD. And like I said, unless you're one of the people who your fetish is urethra play, this hurts like hell.
I can imagine.
I know.
I have issues with the yearly female exam, and I know I don't like it. I don't enjoy it.
Don't
it's
like
no
it either.
Fun.
but it's something that helps keep me healthy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily happy, but also sane.
I also have, when I get a peptic exam, I usually end up getting in the butt, too, for colon cancer.
Yeah, being checked
for. And that hurts worse than the elastic havoc going into the vagina. Because at least the vagina will open up a little bit.
Yeah.
And let it, that hurts.
About 2 years ago, I had a Flexig done because I was told I had I was diagnosed at one place saying I had human papillomavirus, an internal rectal wart. And I went and got a second opinion, and they did a Flexig.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though that camera's small and, you know, I'm a gay man, I did ask to be sedated.
It's
oh, yeah,
you
that
can,
hurts.
You can do certain things when you're relaxed and you're with a willing partner, but when it's a doctor and this is not of your own free will,
Well, you know, it was weird because, you know, I'm on my side and it's a woman back there. And I was so sedated. I'll tell you this, I didn't know she started. It wasn't until the fact that I was facing the television monitor that she was watching on that, and I look up there and I go, whoa, that's not the ceiling anymore. We're going in a tunnel. Then I realized she had started, so I was well looped and all that, and fortunately, it came back
negative.
Negative because they couldn't find...
That's good.
You know, the first person basically could see it with a little... I forget what they call it. It's a device they insert into the rectum that's basically a magnifying glass. You know, he said he could practically touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And she went in a lot further than that. He goes, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And that was it was one of those scary...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Scary moments that you have. And, you know, HPV, the human papillomavirus, is one that's very much in the news now.
Yeah.
Because for women, and it's human papillomavirus basically is a genital wart, and for gay men it can incur in the anus or the rectum, and for women it's in the vagina, and they have a vaccine for it, and they're recommending, what is it, 12 years old and up?
12 years old and up, and you know, when I read that I was like, my God.
All right, no, it's 12
years up. Oh.
I'm like, oh, here we
but
go.
Yeah, they're recommending 12 to 65.
And, you know, the religious Reich was all upset about this because, you know, you're giving this 12-year-old and basically saying, hey, you're now safe to have sex.
God.
Yeah. But see, you don't look at it like that. And one of the easiest ways to answer that to your daughter, if you choose to have her have this vaccine, and if I remember correctly, is it not a series of three?
I don't remember exactly on the...
I don't remember whether it's one or whether it's three. I'm wanting to say it's a series of three, and I know there was one woman that was asking, well, how do I explain this to my daughter? And the explanation is really simple to me, is it's just like any other vaccination for any other childhood illness or any other illness in your life.
And the main reason for having the vaccination on this is not just because of this HPV wart occurring, but in many instances, the wart has the potential to turn cancerous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I heard too. Okay.
And
oh, great.
So that's part of the reason why the vaccine. It's not that it's not a vaccine to take care of it as an STD. It's a vaccine to prevent it from becoming cancerous. And that's the part of where it's coming from. And yes,
And the STDs and the HPV, that's where a lot of my concern is coming from in the female community. Of there's a lot of females not practicing the safe sex, and we really, really do need to start that. It doesn't matter whether it's somebody that you've known for a matter of hours or somebody that you've known for 6 months.
Yeah.
Now the recommendation from CDC, I think what I read was to know your partner and have the appropriate blood tests for up to 2 years to be able to verify that
everything's kosher and there's not anything to transfer back and forth.
And it's so bad about STDs too. It could be years later, and you can been with somebody years later, like about maybe 3 or 4 years ago,
and have it show up.
And then it all of a sudden the symptoms start showing up.
And also stuff like HPV, you don't have to be symptomatic too. Except, you know, you don't have to see a bump. You don't have to.
And a lot of times the symptoms can be stuff to like pelvic pain in the pelvic area, or your lymph nodes swell up,
or you just assume you have a yeast infection.
Joint pain.
Yeah.
Just stuff that you would think it's coming from something else could come from STD.
And it's so many things that when we go to the doctor and tell our doctors about, well, they go, oh, you just got a yeast infection, or you've got a virus, and, well, because the virus is shedding, this is what's making you feel really crummy,
yeah,
and
you're
this
getting,
is
like,
why your
this
joints are
yucky
hurting.
Discharge, you know, and that's another thing. As soon as you get some discharge, and it's not just a monthly cleansing of your vagina, which most women do, you know the difference between the two. Is go to the doctor as soon as possible, because it could be an STD.
Yeah. When in doubt, check it out.
Now, one thing I'll give you this bit to help you on is if you go to the Montrose Clinic, or as it's also called Legacy Community Health Services, they have an STD clinic. And if I remember correctly, unless it's changed on that, it's like $80.
And that's everything.
That'll test you for bacterial vaginosis, chlamydia, genital warts, gonorrhea, hep A, hep B, hep C, herpes, pubic lice, scabies, syphilis, trichomoniasis, yeast infection, and, of course, HIV/AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think with that, you get a, syphilis was in there, yeah.
Yeah.
If you go for an HIV test, it's free. Call and make a reservation to the STD clinic, and you, like I said, they'll run all these tests for it. If it's something visible, they can tell before the blood work comes back. They'll start you with the medication immediately.
That's worth $80.
Yeah,
that's well spent. $80 right there.
Now the results will take a little while to get back on that.
Of course.
I've been to some places, the Montrose Clinic, the one over there, I think it's off on Hollywood Street or somewhere up in there.
The Hollywood Clinic.
Okay.
Yeah, and they have some tests, HIV tests, that actually takes about an hour for them to get results.
Is that the oral swabs now that they're doing?
Yeah, there's several. Most often when you go to get an HIV test, especially if it's a free HIV test, it's going to be the blood test where they'll take a vial of blood. Only because I think that's the cheapest way of doing that.
Yeah.
There is a test that will be able to give you your results back in 20 minutes,
mm-hmm.
The oral swab.
Yeah.
Which I did that 2 years ago at the Pride during the Pride Festival. And it's basically a plastic swab you run across your gums, and then in 20 minutes they give you the results on that. Like I said, the blood test part, you get it back in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. This is the ones I usually get. It's the blood test one. The one when they take your blood.
Yeah, you can get those at, you know, some of the bars, the bathhouses have.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I know a lot of the bars used to, or Montrose used to go to the different bars in the community and do that. And they used to do up at one of the bars that I go to up there up north. They used to be there every Thursday like clockwork, and for some reason it stopped. I guess they don't have the.
I mean,
they do at some of the bars. Yeah, maybe they don't have people coming out.
They even have it when you go to college. They have it where they test. You can get a free blood H test in college, where they ask you to do the blood test and everything at the college campus.
Well, there's talk now that they want to make it mandatory that, you know, when you go into your doctor's office and you get.
Well, they did pass that.
Yeah.
Well, every time I go to the doctor and have a physical, I always tell them to give me an AIDS test.
Texas and New York, and there's one other state that, where they actually have to ask you by law for permission to do that, and that's one of the things that the CDC is trying to work out is how they can get around that. And I've got very, very mixed feelings on that. I think HIV tests are necessary.
They need to be mandatory. They need to just be part of the exam, period.
And I disagree, because if you have somebody that is HIV positive and they're aware of it and they're on meds, they're still going to do that test when you go to the ER, whether you want it or not. And if you can tell them you're positive, well, what's that's the sense in wasting the money?
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
I mean, that's
it should be where if you have it already and adopt, and if you can...
And I also disagree in that there's a problem that they need to fix with that, which is they somehow need to figure out how to do the pre-counseling for the HIV test before they... They should have thought about this before they made it mandatory and put this in their directives.
Well, yeah, if they're just going to pull an extra vial of blood, you're not going to have. But you know, going through the pre-testing,
like, I think everybody needs to have that pre-counseling to help them be prepared to know that this is not an automatic death sentence that means you're going to die in 6 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the pre-counseling things that I've gone through, pre and the post, with that, there's a lot of shaming. And I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't go back and get the results, is because if you answer the questions truthfully, and, you know, they ask you stuff like, how many partners have you had in the past year? How many times have you had... Did you receive oral sex unprotected? How many times did you give oral sex unprotected? How many times did you give?
Oh, yeah.
And you go through that, and when they look at the stuff and they do the pre-screening, you know, there becomes that little shaming of, well, you know better. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, and they shouldn't do that. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. We know better, but yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
Come on, we're human. We are sexual beings, and you know. I'm not gonna lie. I like sex, and most of the population does. And some people have hang-ups about that. To me, I don't have a hang-up about it because it's just part of being human.
Our society has changed to where sex was a no-no, to where it was very highly accepted, and whether it was the straight community or the GLBT community was not an issue. It was free. If it feels good, do it. Back to, I know there was a couple of years there was a lot of shame in it, and it quieted down and not a whole lot was said about it or anything.
I mean, sex
and
is...
Now it's come back up to that, almost into a fervor of... You know, it's okay, and evidently that's rather high in the straight community, and for some reason, the females are taking the brunt of it.
Mm-hmm. You see, people should look at sex as it's like a gift, like it's like anything else, like alcohol or anything else. You don't abuse it.
Yep.
You got to respect it, and a lot of people's not doing it, and that's when they mess up. You look at sex as more like... Like, say, for instance, I go drinking and stuff. I casual drink. I know not to go get drunk. I know my limits and all that stuff. It's like driving. You're not going to speed, you know, and all that.
Yeah, you're not going to pay attention to bringing some heat on yourself.
Yeah, so you just have to look at sex the same way. I mean, it can be a very joyful thing. It can be enjoyable and everything like anything else, but you just got to treat it like the way you treat anything else.
Now, the one side I'm going to... Since I do love playing the devil's advocate on this stuff.
Okay, is, Chris, yes, you're wonderful at that. Chris.
You know, if you have two consenting people,
mm-hmm.
and they understand the risks,
mm-hmm.
they know the risk, and they're willing to accept it,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, the use of condoms is their choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that you do have to worry, you do worry about that situation, is that, but you have to understand and trust, and you even have that in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because right now the big thing is to talk about the men that are on the down low and then bring something home to their wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there is that issue. You have to have that trust, and you have to have that understanding. And you know, I've had some scares in the past of where I've thought of these things. And, you know, I've contacted people and said, you know, there is a chance. Like when when I had that first diagnosis of HPV, I contacted the people who I had been with in the past several months to where I thought that was that time, and relayed to them. I said, hey, you know,
you might want to go get checked.
Yeah. And so there was a bit of a scare with that. And then, you know.
So. And I agree with you, Chris. If it's two consenting adults and they're willing to take that risk, that's all fine and dandy.
Yeah. It's like me and Dan.
You know, that's just what I'm trying to get out. And I'm not trying to force anybody to do anything in any particular way. But you'd be amazed, simply amazed, at the amount of women that don't know we have a way to have safer sex.
Yeah.
It amazes me when I have some college students up north that I deal with because of our gender identity. And it simply amazes me at the 18 to 25-year-olds, especially the 25-year-olds that are like, what, safe sex between females? What's that? You're kidding, right? No, I'm not.
Well, I think part of that comes from the fact that the big emphasis with STDs, especially in the past 20 years, has been about HIV/AIDS. And there is that belief, which is becoming less, which is becoming less true because of mutation. But in the earlier days, women were not affected by HIV/AIDS. They could be carriers of it, but women were not. You know, in the early days of AIDS and HIV and AIDS, you know, the death counts were men.
Higher in the men, yeah.
And, you know, women were an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is changing now because the virus has been changing. Yeah. So there was that thought of, you know, lesbianism, perfect safe sex, because, you know, no pregnancy and you don't have to worry about HIV/AIDS.
And that is now becoming to be proven wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the sad things, and I just, for the life of me, don't want to be part of that legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are people out there that choose not to be part of that, I want them to know that there is an alternative.
Yeah.
You know, it was just to basically bring it up, give them some ideas of what to use, like the latex gloves, cutting it, where to split it, the saran wrap, dental dams, they're out there. If you want to use them, that's fine and dandy. Use them. Personally, I have a tendency to know who I'm with for mm-hmm. a significant time before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm going to be very safe with them until I know a year down the road.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be having that wonder in the back of my mind and thinking about, okay, do I have something, don't I? I want to know that when I go to the doctor, I'm going to have a 95% assuredness that my tests are coming back negative, and not having to be all that concerned about it, or looking down the road and saying, my God, who did I give this to?
Yeah.
That's another thing, an issue I have with this white bisexual issue is gay is being more accepted and heterosexual is being more accepted, but it's this bisexual thing that's kind of looking at down upon. And you have a lot of these people. There's a lot. I think there might be more bisexual people out there than people can admit.
There's a lot more bisexual females out there than
this is causing an epidemic of passing STDs and AIDS. because of the secrecy. If
that's the issue of it.
And if we can get bisexuality where it's an okay thing, people would be more likely to be acceptable of it, and we wouldn't have the secrecy going around where these guys or whatever, down low or whatever, would have to be going around sick because they worried that their girlfriends or their wives are going to be mad at them because they don't accept bisexual. They think it's all bad.
Yeah, see, that's the issue part about it, is the fact that there has to be, the basic thing is it has to come down to communication.
Exactly.
You have to, you know, understand and trust the other person. You know, you think, well, you know, if we're going to practice unsafe sex, then maybe I'll just slip a condom on and they won't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with your luck, you're going to do that and find someone who's latex intolerant.
Yeah.
And be in bad shape.
I just don't
That's
have
another
sex
issue.
With that person.
That's another issue you have to work out on that, because, you know, you have to get specialty condoms for that sort of thing that aren't latex based, because dental dams are latex. The rubber gloves are latex. You have to be careful because there are a lot of people nowadays that are
very latex sensitive, yeah. And that's you know, okay, latex, okay, you got the vinyl gloves. You can always back up to saran wrap.
Yeah. And do not, oh, one note about the saran wrap.
Because
you're old school on this, so you don't know about this. Do not use saran wrap that's designed for the microwave oven.
Yeah, no, because it leaches.
It's porous.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because you need something that's solid.
The good old fashioned stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you're kinky, hey, there's aluminum foil.
No.
Ouch.
Yeah.
No filling. Okay. Well, kinky. Okay. We'll say with kinky, we'll just say wax paper.
I can handle even hot wax, honey.
See, it's like the communication thing. It's like when I first started dating David. The first thing we did is we put all our cards on the table. You know, there was no secrets. You know, when we really started getting serious. I mean, you know, and every person that I dated, I always put all my cards on the table. I want them to know every little thing about me. And you know, that's why it's good to know every little, if you're bisexual and you go full round here and there. So a lot of times, like David, he likes to go to the bathhouses. I mean, the minute he thinks about going, he tells me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about going to the bathhouses tonight. That'd be all right with you. And yes, as long as you be real careful and be careful who you fool with and make sure you use protection and everything. Don't want you to bring home anything more than maybe $1 million or something. I'm going to go do something with somebody, I always let them know.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, it's that open communication that makes all the difference in the world. You know, if you're going to be bisexual and you're going to be doing outside, you know.
That's supposed to be part of the issue in a marriage, is the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nowadays, when anybody that goes into a marriage, whether it's male to female, or female to female, you can trust all you want, but you got to have that reality.
Uh-huh.
That there's the chance they can slip. And I guess maybe I've got a little different outlook. I really do. And I have really, really expected my husband to slip. And I've been willing to be accepting of it. Yes, I would be a little upset. And you go, well, now how can he be upset because you're on the other side? Well, yeah, and that's the other part, the other thought of it. But we need to look at the reality that I think monogamy is just something of the past.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's a dream that we want, but does it happen in the marriages or the dedicated partnerships?
80% of the time, no.
No. And that's just it. 80% of time, and if the one that's having the affair, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but the one that's having the affair, you know, if they can't be truthful with the other one and there's a problem, then you're not looking at just yourself that you've messed up, but your partner, your life partner.
Yeah, I've when I talk about, you know, wanting to do more traveling and all that, like next year I'm possibly going up to Minneapolis. And I told my father about that, and he used to be a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'd been to Minneapolis a lot there. And he was telling me, oh, it'd be a good thing, you know, when you go there, you need to see, so you know, see someone. Says, why don't I go to meet my stepbrother, you know, or my half-brother? And I tease him about it, because when he was younger and that, he did, was not faithful. My mother knew about it, knows about it. They're still married. In fact, in a couple of weeks, they're about ready to celebrate 39 years of marriage.
Because your mom is an accepting and understanding woman.
Yeah, and the fact that it's out in the open.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
What hurts it is when it's hidden.
Yeah, that's when it really gets screwed up. And when it's out in the, that's why I'm saying communication is so important in relationships all together. Because, like I said, like, I don't have, like David, I can, like, at least get ready for that, you know.
Because, you know, the time may come when it that's coming.
Yeah, and it's the idea is I always look at the, well, if it do happen, how will I react to it? And what would I do or whatever? I always do that because that gets you ready because you never know, something could happen. I could slip or he could slip. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. But at least we have open communication. It's like, if I do slip, I tell him. So we know to maybe go get checked out, be more careful with each other, you know, until we figure it out if everything's okay.
So
you know, you just got
to
have all your cards on the table.
Yeah.
No secrecy.
And that's not just for physical health. It's for the mental health of
exactly.
the relationship.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, when I'm chatting with guys and it's, I've been with guys that are in same-sex relationships, and I've been with guys who are in actual marriage mm-hmm. to a woman. And I explained to them first off, I said, look, I'm not in a relationship. You're the one who's in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, you're the one who knows what your what your relationship status is, and you're the one who's going to have to deal with going back after whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you set the ground rules. We'll do what you want. We don't do what you want. But you have to understand, you know, and be ready that when you go back to your boyfriend or your wife or your girlfriend, you're the one who has to deal with that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that I was with who married to a woman, we met the one time. We had a great time. And when we got done, a couple days later, he sent me an email going, and he thanked me. He said, you know, you helped fulfill a fantasy I had,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not sure if I want to continue with that fantasy. So I'm just letting you know that you're not going to hear from me again. And, you know, I was completely understanding about mm-hmm. that. Then, you know.
But see, that's because you have an open mind, Chris, and you are an understanding individual. But there's people out there that they don't. And I'm not advocating free sex, free love, all out in the open, blah, blah, blah.
You got to have your boundaries.
You know, you've got boundaries, but you also have to think of how it's going to affect you emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
As a couple, you need to set the boundaries mm-hmm. and you have to recognize the consequences
of
what happens when that person gets to that boundary.
Yes.
And what happens if that person crosses that boundary.
That's another thing about putting all your cards on the table too, is when you first dating somebody, I do this personally because I want to find out how this person is going to react when he gets the whole brunt of me. This is how I know if the person's for me or not for me. Because if the person's going to have hang-ups about me being bi or being hang-ups about this and that, maybe I don't need to be with this person. And now, David, I did that with him, and he was all cool with it. And come to find out, me and him had the exact same cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can work with this guy, you know. Any problems that come up, we can sit down and talk about it. Where other people in the past, it was issues. And it would cause more problems down the line. And when something came up, it really got worse. So that's why I always say, you know, before you get a relationship, it might be a good idea to let everybody, you know, just put the cards out and let them know who you are.
Now, in some of your other relationships, was it a bi-straight relationship, or were they mainly bi-bi?
Well, David is actually the first bi relationship besides Jim. Jim Bond. That most of them were straight. And a lot of times they had Christian or religious views on everything. They kind of put everything on this religious view. So they kind of like had a judgment on it. So that kind of caused conflict.
But they were too much intrigued by the possibility of girl-girl action.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then they liked the girl-and-girl action, but then they had, a lot of times, they had this hang-up with gays in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they felt a little threatened by it.
Gays as in gay men, not yes. gay women.
Yeah, gay men.
Because
yes.
I mean, that's the big thing, because I made this comment. I remember Pat Robertson saying one time, you know, 1% of the population is gay male.
Oh, really?
But 2%, I mean, 1% of the male population is gay, but 2% of the female population is lesbian.
Yeah, right.
And what did he say about bis?
Oh, he put
he just put in the two columns there, because him there, you know.
I mean, what does he know? What does he know about all this stuff?
But no, that was the fact is that, you know, even this conservative Christian, you know, he had the idea for that girl-girl action.
Sure.
That's one of the biggest guy's fantasy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, first time I took my brother to a gay bar, we went over to JR's, and there was this lesbian couple sitting on the end, and my brother had several too many at that point. He just looked over at them, and he looked at me, and he goes, I would give up my car just to watch once.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. It intrigues me to death. Now, you have to understand, my husband does not participate in my female relationships.
Mm-hmm.
He knows of them. He's aware of them. He supports me. It's kind of like a family, but it's a me and him thing and a me and her thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he was younger, he had that fantasy. Now he's just kind of like...
Because he realizes, you know, at the point that he's at there, you two would be going off together, and he'd just be sitting there watching. It's like, oh, I can get a tape for that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go to an adult bookstore and you look at the movies, you know, straight in, quote-unquote, straight porn, there is almost always going to be a bisexual, a woman-on-woman scene. And in fact, they get paid more for doing a woman-on-woman than doing a woman-on-man.
I mean, I like David so much because I asked him about that, and he told me he don't understand why men are so interested in that. He gets turned on more seeing a man-on-man. I told him, me and you, we going to get along real good. Because that is one of the main things that used to get on my nerves. One day I was in JR's, of all places, me and this other lady, at the time when I was dating a woman, and this man comes up and asks me to, he pay us to have sex. And to me, that's like a total turnoff. It just irritates me to the core, and I just like wanted to knock this guy out. And it's like, why do you think that? You think we just put here on the planet Earth? Think
for
that
your satisfaction.
I have little personal time together for you guys to watch. I don't go around asking two gay men, can I watch y'all do it? I don't think they want us to be watching.
No, but they don't.
They have this mindset that, oh, that's what lesbian sex is about, for them to watch.
Yeah.
And it's a turnoff. Trust me.
But no, it's unfortunately the way our society is with that, and
you know, it goes back to God. For some reason, I can remember when I was in junior high, I can remember one of the guys that I used to hang out with, and I hung out with the guys more than I hung out with the girls for some reason, I don't know. But I remember one of the guys asking one of the other ones about, since he'd been out with one of the girls, what she was like. He told her, he said, man, he said, you don't want to mess with her. She's AC/DC. And it took me a little while to find out what that meant. And then when I found out what that meant, I thought, you know, what's wrong with that? Why can't you date her? Just because she's AC/DC. Because she enjoys both gender.
You know, there's
like you said, the bisexual, it's for some reason it's posed as something negative. It's looked down upon. I mean, I'm happy that the gay community, I'm happy that gay and lesbian is being finally looked good upon, finally. But it's like the bites are being kind of pushed out. Like, that's bad. Because I even find it in the gay community sometimes, that negative output of bisexuality. It's mostly by lesbians. Mostly,
yeah.
Gay men are usually cool with it.
Yeah, you get more negative connotations from the lesbian community than you do from the gay community.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that is brought upon by we're called fence sitters, I think is the word for
mm-hmm.
it. And they don't understand how we can love a man and a woman, how we can love and care and enjoy one of each, why we can't just settle with one or the other.
And they look at being with men as something really gross and yucky.
Yeah.
You know, it's nasty or something.
Some of them do. Yeah. And some of them actually have a very deep hatred
for men.
Of straight men.
Yeah.
I know not this last relationship that I was in, but the one before. She had no issues with my husband. She got along with him wonderfully. And when we were out in public, they thought we were all just great friends. And she was, you know, she did not have an issue with it at all. Which simply amazed me. And there are those out there that just don't have an issue with it. And then there are those that, well, you cannot have a committed relationship with me because you are married to a man. And that's not... It is true in some circumstances, in a certain part of
mm-hmm.
the bi community, but in my particular situation, that is not. My relationships have almost always been long-term committed.
Yeah, usually my relationships broke up because me being bisexual, they just mm-hmm. couldn't. They kept getting in these thoughts in their head that I'm going to fool around with some guy. Usually when I get in a relationship and it's monogamous, I can be monogamous with somebody. I don't have to be with other people. But for some reason, it's playing in their head that I'm end up with a guy. And it freaks them out, and it usually ends up in a relationship. Bad incident is maybe Gigi might have mentioned it on the air before was, excuse me, when we had Binet Camp 3 or 4 years ago. And it was at the Rainbow, I think it was called Rainbow Ranch, Rainbow Campgrounds or something like that.
Yeah, Rainbow Campgrounds.
And at the time, they had these lesbians kind of running the facilities. And the first time when they went there, the lesbians went there. They had, like, some guys there, gay men or something there. So everything was all culture. The second time we went there, they were there. And they gave us some hell. They don't want us to come back there, and they don't like it. You know, it's like the people, the gay people are offended. And here we are having a big old party with all these gay campers. We had like this bonfire and drum circles, and here they all coming over to join our drum circles with their drums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing their drinks and their mixed drinks and stuff. We just having this big old party. So nobody have no problem with it, except for the lesbians at the front.
Yeah, and you can't classify that as all.
Not all of them are that way,
got,
fortunately. You know,
some friends that are lesbian that you know, they're kind of like. There's different subsections within the bisexual group, just like there is
uh-huh.
within our community. You know?
Fortunately, they're all not like that.
Yeah,
but the ones that are like that.
Just
it's,
like a
it's,
nail on a
chalkboard. Yeah, and it's louder than the ones that are not like that.
Yeah.
So you're gonna notice it first.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the thing about black people. You see one black person on the news, doing crime or something, you can always, well, all of them must be doing it. You know, because it's loud.
Yeah.
It's kind of louder than it's Wednesday night doing it. So it's the same concept. So it's, at first I kind of had that concept, but then I was like, wait a minute, I know a lot of lesbians that are not like that, so I can't do that, you know.
Well, I got a feeling we got, what, 5 minutes left, Chris?
Yeah, we're about ready to wrap up.
Okay.
Hey, Outsmart Magazine is out with their gayest and greatest. And if you want to look for anything with After Hours, you're SOL. Favorite radio personalities, not us. But if you turn to the... just inside the back cover, there's a picture of former guest on here several times, Vanessa Edwards Foster and Jimmy Carper, wearing a pink shirt. So if you don't know what Jimmy looks like, if you get the new Outsmart, turn to the back. He's in picture 3. It was cute. The daughter of the host of the show before us, Charity.
Mm-hmm.
I showed her a picture of these 5 guys. She goes, ooh, they're cute. I go, hey, they're gay too. She's like, damn.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Let me read this last poem, Chris,
sure,
if you don't mind, in closing. And
I want to say a couple of little statements after you read the poem too. Okay. Is that okay?
No problem.
It's called What Do We Call Love? Love is Unconditional. Never to wither away. To love someone is love without restraints. It's an everlasting emotion that grows stronger with time. It sees the good and the bad, yet continues to love you. The same as it did yesterday, he or she cannot say they love you if there are conditions. Love leaves an ever-marking presence on the soul. Can you say you feel the same? Riveting the soul with happiness and pain. Love is unconditional. Okay, Chris.
Nice.
And I wanted to say that you can join us at Binet USA, Binet Houston. They usually have their meetings at the Harvey Cafe in between off of Richmond, in between Shepherd and Kirby at the Hobbit, every third Saturday. Every third Thursday of the month, and every first Saturday of the month they have Binet movie night, and they have movies that are relating to bisexuality or maybe gay sexuality. So you can check us out.
Okay, this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. We're wrapping up. If you want to send us storylines, ideas, any other stuff, email is afterhours@kpft.org. We'll be back next week. Jimmy should be here, too. Second week, we're talking Diane Rose, hopefully. Maybe. And something else, I think. Probably not, but just Diane Rose. This After Hours, again, next week, and now your PSAs.
KPFT is pleased to announce the names of our 15 candidates in the 2006 local station board election. Congratulations and good luck to James Allen, Teresa Allen, Wesley Bethune, Donald Cook, Bill Crozier, Emmett Abadido, Ben Freeland, Joseph Kay, Mike Martin, Rick Potsoff, Bob Sanborn, Wendy Schrell, Brian Swain, Thomas Williams, and Susan Young. Check them out online at kpft.org and stay tuned for updates about live candidate events and parties. A few weeks from now, voting members will receive a ballot in the mail. Once you have ranked your favorites, send it in. The only ballots that count are the ones that you send back to us. Your vote matters most. Thanks for voting. For Radio for Peace, 90.1 KPFT Pacifica, Houston.
To
Texas Center for the Missing was formed in 2000 to provide support for families searching for their missing loved ones. TMC provides extensive training for area law enforcement agencies and administers the Houston Regional Amber Alert Plan. A charity golf tournament benefiting Texas Center for the Missing will take place on Tuesday, October 10th at the Wildcat Golf Club, located at 1 Wildcat Drive off the South Loop. Registration will take place from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., and team sponsorships and individual golf entries are available. All proceeds will go towards missing child prevention, the Houston Regional Amber Alert Plan, and collaborative search efforts, as well as educational programs for both the public and law enforcement officials. For more information on the golf tournament or to download a registration form, please visit www.thetexascenter.org. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.